These are the Kaishi Tapes. U-Man and Favaz explore the backstories and interviews heard on Kaishi, the longest-running rock station in the country.
And welcome to the Kaishi Tapes podcast. I'm John Hewlett with...
Favaz.
Favaz. F-A-V-A-Z-Z is how you spell that.
Yes, that's how you... You just added an A to my last name, and that's how my real name is spelled.
That's right. Yeah, I was just talking to a reporter for something that's coming up here that is an event at the Sheldon Theater that's being put on.
I'm going to be there.
My life. You're going to help out?
Yeah.
Good. Cool. Cool. And I mentioned your name, and he said, how do you spell that? And I blanked for a second, and then I got it right.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
You should know.
I spelled it S-H-I-T-H-E-A-D. I don't know if that's right. Anyway, this podcast continues, and we keep finding these interviews in the Kaishi basement. And today we found another one here that an announcer who was with Kaishi back in the late 70s and early 80s, Jack Silver, did with Little Steven Van Zandt. And this time period was 1982.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear it. We had Little Steven on before, and it was right when The Sopranos started, or they were going into their second season. I interviewed him, and that was cool.
Yeah.
But this one was, 20 years earlier, and
yeah.
I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, because he's in the E Street Band at this time. And see, 82,
he still was.
Yeah. The big album.
Was The River?
No, 82. No, The River was before 82.
Darkness?
Darkness. This was after Darkness. What was the big one with Dancing in the Street?
That was 1984, 85.
Was that that late?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, this is in between there then, I guess. Because The River came out, 80, I think it was? So whatever happened between The River and that, we'll find out.
I like Bruce.
Me too. Absolutely, yeah. And his band is just tremendous. And Little Steven has been a very important part of Springsteen's career. And he really relied on Steven.
Yeah, still does. And the one thing that I can say about Bruce, and I've told people that have yet to see him, and you should go see him, is that, and I hate this word, and I never use this word, but he brings joy to your face. He does. He brings joy. It's a joyous occasion.
Yeah, I think it is. But I mean, his songs can be heavy, too. I mean, there's heavy messaging in a lot of his music.
Yeah, there is.
But in the end, I think I just can't believe that man has had the ability to produce all the lyrics and songs that have come out of just one human being.
Yep.
I think there's as far as songwriters of the rock and roll era of our generation, I think it's Dylan and then Springsteen.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he probably would too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Let's see how this interview went.
All right, and I cannot believe
And again, we're going from reel to reel. This is an old reel to reel tape that's been laying in a basement since 1982.
Yours.
Yeah. Well, no, mine just in the last few years. Mine's dry.
Quality of this phone connection, but let's not blow it. All right. Okay. To begin with, I'd basically like to ask what could possibly be an obvious question, but I'll ask it anyway. Sometimes the obvious ones are the ones that aren't so easy. With your success with the E Street Band, the question comes to my mind, why the need for this side project?
Well, I've always been a songwriter, and I was actually a lead singer and a band leader right up until I joined up with Bruce, so I've always had it going, and even after I joined Bruce, I kept writing for the Jukes,
Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes was the name of his group.
I remember that, yeah.
And I remember us playing a little bit of music from it, not much, but there might be a Kaishi classic, now that I think about it, from Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes that I don't have in my collection right now.
Well, why don't you, Godfather?
I'll need to look further into that.
Come on, please.
Okay.
I've used Southside Johnny as my creative outlet, But finally, it just got time where I felt I should be doing my own songs and making a more personal statement, So
All right. And is it the reason I had mentioned the obvious before? Because it seems like, you know, Bruce, you guys, there's quite a bit of time between albums and between tours. So is it almost just to fill up some of the idle time you might have, too?
Well, no, not really. What's happened is I just have gotten to the point where I have something to say, you know, and I feel I want to say it. And I just recently felt I've gotten to the point where I was able to say it. And I did utilize that time in between, you know, Bruce's tour and starting on Bruce's next record. I did use that time to start my own career here. But from now on, I will be making my own records and I will have my own band.
You know, yeah. He sounds totally different from when I interviewed him. He sounds much more awake and vibrant.
When you talk to him.
When I talk to him. Yeah. Than now.
Yeah, here he seems like he doesn't have as much confidence maybe in what he's doing. I don't know. But what was going on with Bruce at this time, now that I, you know, take a glance at the years of the albums coming out. The River came out in 1980. Mm-hmm. They had a big tour. And then Bruce, while making The River, decided that he was going to go on his own. And he put the Nebraska album out.
Oh.
So he didn't have Southside Johnny with him or anybody at this particular time. So they kind of, he talks about maybe doing, well, I don't know if he talked about working on the next Bruce Springsteen record from that point on, or he was talking about the past. But I guess at this point, it's possible that he doesn't know what his future is. Because the next album by Springsteen is Born in the USA.
And which was his biggest ever.
Yeah, but at the time of this interview, Bruce was on a solo thing doing Nebraska.
Yeah, Nebraska.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. That doesn't mean the dissolvement of your relationship with the Street Band, right? It's just going to...
No. Right. Not right now. I think everything is... there's going to be time for both right now. By the time Bruce's record is ready... And his tour is ready. I don't expect that to happen until sometime early summer. So by then, we will have toured America, Canada, Europe twice, and maybe even Japan. So I've gotten really a real good start with the Disciples of Soul, you know?
All right. Here's a question that comes to mind, and the commercial that we're running here at Keishi concerning your appearance mentions that you have a 10-piece band. And I was wondering, what's it like touring with such a large entourage? I mean, do you lose guys? I mean, some of those airport scenes must be a trip, or, you know, so what is it like touring with such a big entourage?
Yeah, you lose a one player in another town or so, but you don't usually miss them. I've gotten used to it from all the work that I did with the Jukes, you know. I put the Jukes together, so I've kind of been used to 10 pieces for a long time. What happens is it just becomes a problem because it is expensive, you know. That's the hardest part about it. And a tour like we're doing right now, which is mostly clubs, the record company does have to support it. You know, they have to pay for part of it, and that's happening less and less.
Especially for a fringe artist like Stevie Ray, Little Steven.
Oh, totally.
Yeah,
yeah.
Nobody knew.
I mean, people may have known he was part of the E Street Band, but musically, nuh-uh.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe up in New Jersey, up in that area, he was hot, but he was never gonna. I don't think ever really going to break out on a national basis with his own stuff.
We were very fortunate in that way, because once the record company saw the band, they felt it was important for people to see it. So they did come up with the money, but that really becomes the hardest part. You know, 10 people is a lot
financially. Okay.
Well, yeah, because by the time you put the crew, you know, we're traveling with 16, 17 people, so it. It's tough, you know.
Yeah. All right. Maybe we can touch on another aspect of the Disciples of Soul. With Springsteen, you do seem to play a supportive role, but one which I think it appears that you really enjoy. And then here we find you, the front man. Maybe you can speak to the differences and possibly whether you have a preference to being dead center in the limelight or kind of being that side man.
Well, for one thing, it's a lot more work.
Yeah, I bet.
Doing it this way. I haven't actually fronted a band for now 7-8 years. And when I was with the Jukes, me and Johnny would split the lead vocals. So I haven't sung a whole show in a long time, and that really surprised me how much more energy that takes. I mean, to sing rather than just play guitar.
Doing both.
That's why you look at Bruce and you go, yeah. Gosh, he does 3.5 hour shows. He sang and he played guitar.
Yeah, you know? I know.
And he's like many other artists, but nobody can do it like him.
No.
As far as being in the spotlight, I really never liked that. I never really felt I wanted to do that, and I really still don't in a lot of ways, which is why I put a band together that's very strong, a lot of strong personalities, and this way I'm just more of a band-oriented guy, you know, and I just feel like I'm a member of the band, and I happen to be the one who's singing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just don't want that. I just don't want that spotlight on me all the time.
Yeah. You mentioned the strong personalities that you do have in your group. For some of the St. Louisans who are not as familiar with some of your band members, can you highlight a couple of the people you've got playing with you in the Disciples and where their roots and how you folks came about to work together?
Well, let's see. I mean, I think everybody would probably know La Bamba from the horn section. He worked with me in the Jukes for many years. Then there's Dino Danelli, plays drums. He was with a group called the Rascals.
Yeah, Dino Danelli, that's a well-known name. The Rascals, I remember
I remember them.
He's a guy.
Who I met when there was going to be a Rascals reunion last year. They had brought me in to maybe produce it. And then it got postponed or kind of fell through at the time. And I asked Dino to join my band, and he said yeah. John Beauvoir is a bass player. He was with the Plasmatics.
It's a long way from Wendy O to Miami Steve.
It's funny. You know, everybody brings their own thing to my thing, and that's what I wanted, you know.
Yeah.
And John really wasn't realizing very much of his potential in that particular band.
Yeah.
He's a very, very talented guy. He's a great singer and a great bass player. And this is just a bit more of a musical thing than I think the Plasmatics were at the time.
Yeah.
And let me see. Monty Ellison, the percussionist, was with the Alvin Ailey Dance Group in Manhattan. And
so you do have some.
Hello, you awake over there?
Hey.
He talks so meekly and mildly.
Yes.
I'm looking at, so there's Southside Johnny and the Disciples here. So Southside Johnny has his own line of albums. And then there's Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes, whole nother set of releases and band. And I know we never played Little Steven and the Disciples that I can remember. Maybe we did a little bit, you know, because the album came out and, you know, we felt like we had to at least, you know,
spin it
and let the artist know, hey, Casey's on it. Because when a radio station like Casey or any major radio station around the country got on an album, Radio and Records, which is a big trade magazine that all the artists would look at to see, they'd see what stations have added their music. So, you know, in order for Little Steven to even call Casey, we probably were playing something from the album, or he probably would not have called.
Right.
But as far as Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes, I do remember these album covers that I'm looking at on my phone right now, and us playing some stuff from them for sure. But that was all before this.
Well-known names as well as, and I assume all these gents are your friends, and that I guess that's the key there.
Oh, that's very important. Yeah, it's very important for me that they fit, you know, philosophically as well as musically. You know?
Yeah. Okay, I tell you what, I know you're... would be concerning, and if you can speak to it, someone told me that, I know I've seen the videos on MTV for some of your stuff, but someone told me there's a whole movie that goes along with Men Without Women.
Yeah.
What's the story with that?
Well, when I first conceived of the record, I wanted to do a film as a companion piece to it, and rather than just a promo video, I wanted to do a full-length film, and I went to EMI with the idea, and they went for it. You know, what it basically is the band plays most of the songs live in like a rehearsal hall, mm-hmm. and it's intercut with interviews with different people in New York, some street people, a drummer and an artist, and we kind of parallel their lives with ours. And it just expresses something on its own rather than just being a promotional vehicle for the record. I wanted to make a film that actually said something.
That's a new approach. I just remembered. Congratulations are in order.
Just remembered I got to go because you were boring the living hell out of us. No.
What's he going to congratulate him?
You're newlywed.
Right.
Yeah, congratulations. Wow. And you got to please tell St. Louis about your wedding. It was written up in all the trades, and every programmer knows the story. Tell the listeners what went on at the wedding of Miami Steve Van Zandt. Gotta tell them.
Well,
okay, you were married by
artist guy Little Richard, you know.
Yeah.
Little Richard married him.
Okay.
Wow.
I don't know if people know him. He was one of the great rock and roll singers mm-hmm. of the 50s, and off and on, almost right away, he got into gospel. You know, he started. He became an evangelist. So I just, you know, I figured who should marry Little Steven? Well, it should be Little Richard, you know?
All right. And
Little Richard married Little Steven. Or didn't actually marry him. He presided over the wedding.
He was the officiant.
Yes.
Best man.
Which you do.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Many times.
Yeah, many times.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How much you charge?
Oh, I haven't charged anybody in a while, but I used to charge listeners $500.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. I would show up in the Hummer, and I would bring Casey stuff, and I would have them write it.
Nice.
And that's how it, you know, it went.
Oh, that's great, man.
Yeah.
Bruce was the best man, and we had Percy Sledge sing.
Percy Sledge?
Mm.
Yeah.
We had Little Milton there, and we had Gary Bonds, of course. Brought in the new year because it was kind of a New Year's party, you know, as well as a...
Who do you say brought in the new year? Guy?
I don't know.
Well, who was the guy that sang...
Do you want to rewind
guy,
it?
Guy. Yeah, it's a famous name, a famous guy. Guy.
We had Little Milton there, and we had Gary Bonds, of course. Brought in the new year because it was kind of a New Year's party.
Guy Bonds.
I don't know.
Guy Lombardo was the guy that was always my parents would have.
I
Guy
remember
Lombardo,
that too.
Yeah, sing "Auld Lang Syne" on New Year's mm-hmm. Eve. Yeah.
As well as a wedding party, so we had a good time.
Whoa, just to say the least. Gosh, it had to be the social event of the year. Okay, and finally, as I'd mentioned, being an E Street fan and consider them probably among my favorite bands, both live and on record. I'd like you to, if you could, fill St. Louis in on the status of the E Street Band's next record and possibly some information
Good
concerning
question.
An upcoming tour to support the new LP.
Well, we've been working on Bruce's new record off and on for a few months.
Oh, so at this point, he's fully aware that he's still in the band, and there are no questions, no issues, even though Springsteen went on and did Nebraska with other musicians.
Right.
They were still working on the next Springsteen album, which was the big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's in real good shape. It's better than halfway through, you know, finished. it's really a little hard to predict, you know, because you never really know, you know, Bruce isn't going to be finished till he's finished, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
But we're hoping to get it finished by summertime.
Now, keep in mind, he's talking about Born in the USA. So, at this time, have no idea how huge that album is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, monstrous. That was the first time I saw him in Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, just put yourself in back in time. You're hearing this man talk who's making this record right now, having no idea that it's going to become one of the greatest records of all time.
And at that time, we would do a tour, and I'm sure St. Louis would be one of the towns we come to.
Yeah, we will keep our fingers crossed. All right. Well, again, I appreciate the first part, and if it ends with St. Louis's best rock, KC95, that'd be fine. And please sell it.
Please sell it.
In other words, your presentation up to this point has been boring. And I like Little Steven, you know.
Me too.
But man,
too.
Yeah. The this has been a painful interview to listen to, you know.
Well,
all right.
Let me think for 1 minute here.
All right.
Come on.
So he's about ready to do a promo for the radio station to run in between Bruce Springsteen songs.
All right. This is Lil Steven. On behalf of Disciple of Soul, I'm talking to you right now from St. Louis's Best Rock, KC95, and we are coming to your town, so be ready.
All right. And we're rolling.
This is Lil Steven. And I'm coming to St. Louis with the Disciples of Soul. And we're going to be stomping right through KC territory, 95. So be prepared.
Right. That's not bad. Now you're on a roll. I can feel it. I can feel it right now. And how about one last one?
This is a guy who was an actor in the
Sopranos.
Sopranos.
Yeah.
Did he talk like this? Was he? He's pretty low-key in the Sopranos.
Yeah, but not that low key.
Yeah.
So,
oh no, I got it. Let me see. AC95, those sound real good.
This is Little Steven. On behalf of Disciples of Soul, we're gonna play you a song from our new record, Men Without Women, on St. Louis's best rock and roll, KC95.
Hey, he's in Foreigner, too.
I think that's it. Yeah. What that was is Foreigner somehow. Oh, this was a rock album countdown. So this was a tape that a company that we would run their show on the air.
Yes.
And the show was about Foreigner. And so
he taped over it.
He was recording over it. Yeah. So anyway.
Well, all right, little Steven.
A little behind the scene information there. All right. Well, we got to go.
Do we?
I need a nap after Little Steven's spiel there. Anyway, you can follow me on Instagram, Johnny Hewlett, and I'm also the half-assed retired DJ on Instagram.
Casey Guy on Instagram and Twitter. KC95 Favaz, Facebook.
Bye.
AMF.
The KC Tapes with You Man and Favaz. For more on the history of KC, go to KC95.com or the KC mobile app.